saving money on everything now at Menards. Create fresher, cleaner air with damp-rid products. Control the humidity in your space with a hanging bag moisture absorber. They're great for closets and laundry rooms. Grab a 3-pack on sale through September 8th. Save big on damp-rid moisture absorbers at Menards. America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction according to J.D. Power. Visit jdpower.com for details and menards.com for deals.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everyone, to SI Media with Jimmy Traina. Thank you so much for listening. We have an unbelievably awesome show for the wrestling fans out there. The new undisputed champion, Cody Rhodes, who finished his story at WrestleMania 40, gives his first extensive interview since that unbelievable main event where he finally won the WWE title from Roman Reigns. We get into everything from WrestleMania, a lot of things about where the WWE is going forward, and just excellent conversation with Cody. If you're a wrestling fan, I guarantee you will love it. If you're not a subscriber to SI Media with Jimmy Traina, make sure you hit that subscribe button. And if you've missed any recent episodes of SI Media with Jimmy Traina, go to the archives, check them out. We had Jim Miller on last week to talk about ESPN changes. We had Chris Mad Dog Russo on 2 weeks ago. So plenty of episodes in the archives in case you missed them. And if you're new here, hit the subscribe button and you can rate and review on Apple. All right, let's get to it. A great interview with the new WWE Undisputed Heavyweight Champion. Finished his story at WrestleMania 40, Cody Rhodes. All right, joining me now, absolutely thrilled to have the new... I'm not going to try to do like a Samantha Irvin. I can't do it. She's way too good. But the new WWE Undisputed Champion, fresh or finishing his story, the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. Cody, thanks for doing the podcast. What's new? Oh,
thank you. thank you for having me. I mean, what's new? It's all new, right? We finished one story. You gotta start a brand new one. And, I feel I have officially perhaps come down off of the high, the WrestleMania. I thought maybe a week, but more realistically about 2 weeks to kind of just, hey, we were in that moment. We had that moment. Now let's move on to making more great moments.
I cannot believe you just said that, because I've been racking my brain trying to figure out the first question I was going to ask you or how we were going to start the interview. Yeah. And I think I had settled on, are you still on a high? And you came right out and talked about being on a high. So we have good chemistry here, it seems like, because that's what I was going to ask.
No, it's a question that even some of the management at WWE, that's been the big like, hey, that was amazing. How are you feeling? Are you still up in the clouds about it? And it was also large and grand and epic and those things that it was just an experience I've never experienced before. I'll chase that type of feeling forever. It was really, really, really special. And now looking forward to nothing like WWE is really good about great WrestleMania. Amazing show. We got a show tomorrow. We got a show Friday. I'm getting ready to go to the UK to do Birmingham and Cardiff and London and Belfast. And those are all markets that needs to be serviced and get their own WrestleMania. So it's just you got to get right back on it.
There, we do have to move forward, but we have to go back a little bit because I have about a billion questions about WrestleMania and what took place. I mean, for starters, I don't remember many things in the world of professional wrestling that I followed over my life where it was sort of universal that something was awesome. It's pretty universal that that main event was awesome. Obviously, it caps off with you finishing the story, winning the belt. But Cena, Undertaker, Rock. Did you, when do you know this is awesome? Is it during the match? Is it when it's over and you're in the ring with all your peers? Is it backstage? When does it first hit Cody Rhodes like, this was pretty effing awesome?
I feel like sometimes as like a competitor or a performer, you're checking these boxes in your head, like, oh, that went great. And that went great. And, you know, there's an energy that's hard to describe. We always want it, but we know the nights we don't have it. And we know the nights that it's there, like a complete understanding between you and the audience. I know that might sound all mystical and such, but I knew from the moment I did my entrance that we were in some rare air. I knew then, because there was a feeling, and not unlike the feeling at WrestleMania 39, there was a feeling just in the air of the potential change and the big fight feel that sometimes when we say it on commentary, there's not a big fight feel, but it's a great, great little way to describe or maybe perceive something. This was very much a big fight feel. And it kind of continued and snowballed into Roman and I are looking at each other in the ring, and you can see it on camera, but he said, one more dance. And I thought, oh, we are cruising into something. And he just came so dialed in and so prepared. Just an outstanding, it felt like everything, I guess the way to put it is, it felt like everything that was happening hit. Everything that was happening was succeeding, and that's just such a beautiful piece of music to write, because that audience, I'll forever have some link to Philly. I mean, it's a worldwide audience that comes to WrestleMania, but it was really special that that happened in Philly. I have a lot of love for Philly, as people know, and that they were with me the whole way from the beginning to the celebration.
It was the perfect crowd for that WrestleMania. Following up sort of on when you know it's awesome, what the highlight outside of you finally finishing the story, I think, was the appearance of The Undertaker. There were rumblings about Cena showing up, Stone Cold. There's been reports that Stone Cold couldn't work out a deal. It ends up being The Undertaker. It might have worked out for the best if that's actually the case. And I'm curious, I think at the time when we heard the dong, or is it the bong?
I think it's a gong. I think you missed
a gong.
Yeah, two strikes, man. Woof.
Gonging. Yeah. I'm using words I probably shouldn't be using. I don't know what's going on. No. The gong. Yep. I think you're laying on the mat at that point. Mm-hmm. And obviously Rock's in the ring. Gong goes off. Lights go down. Same kind of question. In your head, are you thinking about what you need to do, what you have to do next? Or can you think, okay, this crowd's going batshit crazy, this is awesome?
For me, what I was thinking was I was so excited that Seth and myself and Roman were on the same playing field, because I might have told you this before. Mm-hmm. A really overused word in you know, sports entertainment, pro wrestling is over. And I tell everybody, you can ask all the students at the Nightmare Factory. I try to let them know, like, don't use that word, because nobody in this generation is over. Rock is over. Cena is over. Over means you cannot step outside your house. You cannot walk into an airport. I mean, it sounds like hell, but over is just where you have such an interest level and you've captured the imagination of the audience. And I feel like this generation, Roman, Seth Rollins, if there were guys who were over, or if there were guys who were close, and I'm going to go and said they were the former, if there were guys who were over, it's those two. And to be part of that fray, I didn't really have time to celebrate it in a sense, because we've got more match to go, but I got a fun kind of parallel where I don't know if people have seen the documentary on Netflix about the We Are the World song where they get
oh
everybody together.
I tried to get Lionel Richie on this podcast after I saw it. That's how crazy I went.
Oh man, what is so for me, I feel like I didn't know enough about Lionel. And now I'm thinking, oh my gosh, he did the AMAs, he did this, he's just he owned it. Watching that was really kind of the entire WrestleMania experience, from Rock in Birmingham to the commercial shoots, to the change at the press conference, to all that. It felt a lot like that documentary, in a sense that, you, again, rare air. You're around these luminary, unbelievable presence who've done all that they can do. And then here they are doing even more, giving even more. Maybe to put a little bow on it, when I heard the gong and there was The Undertaker, the one thing I verbally, I might have even said it out loud, was this is 40 years of WrestleMania. Gosh, the sheriff showing up, the judge showing up. It certainly that energy in the building. You know, I asked him later if he wanted to do a tag team. I could ride in a little sidecar on the bike. Just a really special thing. I'm forever grateful to everyone who was involved on my side and everybody who was involved even on Roman's side.
I'm gonna try to like think who, like do a comparison of the We Are the World people to the WrestleMania people. who would Cody be?
Oh, you know, that's a really good question. Well, I think you got to give Roman, if we're looking at that documentary and the importance of the people in it, you really, I guess you want to be Quincy, Lionel, or
Michael
MJ.
Jackson. Yeah.
And I want to say that maybe Roman and I shared the line, you know, or maybe he was Lionel and I was Quincy, because I was trying to get the music together. Or hell, I mean, Bruce Springsteen on that sucker too. Everyone.
Is on that
sucker. And I'll say this. I know a lot of people talked about Stone Cold Steve Austin and him being there, him not being there, and stories and all that. I have nothing but love for Stone Cold. That just, again, the most profitable. Excuse me. Sorry.
Again, that's okay.
the most profitable and unbelievable, you know, wrestler for his time. And that Attitude Era has been held up against what we've been doing for so long. It's such a great feeling to know that we're now out kicking it. We're now, they set that bar for us, and they set this table for us, and now we're doing it all again. So nothing but love for the Texas Rattlesnake.
Yeah. Same thing here. I mean, listen, if who doesn't love Stone Cold, but it kind of is weird in a way that maybe it did work out the way it was supposed to. Cause I'm thinking the way it plays out, obviously the iconic glass smashes, but he's got to come out to the ring. Yes. Everyone will be going crazy, but the way it played out with the gong, lights out, Undertaker in the ring, I mean, that could not have worked out any better either. So it's, you know, sometimes things work out the way they're supposed to.
And not to get too inside baseball, I suppose, but I'll tell you two guys who are equally important to that match and the overall everything, the build, as people love to say now, to WrestleMania, but Bobby Roode and the Freebird himself, the Freebird Michael Hayes, just because he has a magic about him. You know, maybe he's the Quincy in all of this, but those two did an incredible job.
I was going to throw out a couple of questions that I'm not sure if you want to get into. And if you don't want to get into it, you just tell me to shut the hell up, because it is kind of
inside
baseball.
I would never tell you to shut the hell up.
You should. That's the sign of when you're friends with someone, they can tell you to shut the hell up.
I pride myself on answering the difficult questions, but then I look back, I'm like, you didn't really answer it.
Well, it's not even difficult, but if, you know, listen, you don't want to give all the secrets away, but I'm just curious, how many people had an input into the match? Like, I would assume obviously Triple H, Bruce Pritchard, Heyman, you, Roman, Rock, and you just mentioned Bobby Roode and you mentioned Michael Hayes. I'm just talking about like the collaborative effort, like how many people get a say in how it all, not the finish, but just the everything in terms of how we should, obviously there's got to be a layout for Cena to come in, The Rock. How many, just like a round number, like how many people get a say in what happens You could say, shut the hell up. I don't care.
No, no, no. I think this answer, though, will you'll probably feel is a bit of a cop-out answer, but...
That's fine.
I would say literally millions of people, because millions of people created the match in the first place. The match wasn't going to happen.
Right, right.
And then it was brought back, and then it was also millions of people, hundreds of thousands of people, almost 80,000 people in that stadium who had an opinion on what is this? We've been here. This is WrestleMania 40. This is a 10-year mania. What uniqueness is going to be brought out? And I think fan feedback, like genuine fan feedback, and the things we saw on the way there, because this was something that was talked about, like, oh, I wonder if Cody will finally have some allies on his side. You know, the what about these other victims of the bloodline? All of that. I would say that it was a collaborative, just unbelievable moment that truly, it's not a lie to tell you it's provided by the fans. WrestleMania 40, the beginning of Triple H's era as the head of creative and matchmaker and booker and all those terms, he had millions of consultants on it with him, and that's the way it should be. And he knew what he wanted to see. He knew what we need, where we needed to go. So millions of people.
Well, full credit to them for actually switching, because it's out there now. I mean, I think The Rock spoke about it in at least one, maybe two interviews. Initially he comes back and we think it's going to be The Rock versus Roman at WrestleMania. The Cody crybabies, myself leading the charge, go crazy. We're pissed off. We're livid.
Yeah.
I remember the night you came out on SmackDown where it all started, where you said you wanted the match, but you weren't going to have it at WrestleMania. I remember I remember tweeting, like, what was that? It was more confusing than bad. Like, it just didn't make sense. I would love to know the process and that gets undone, and then we get to where it was supposed to be with you. And I know Triple H has talked about calling an audible. I would love to know your role in that, if you can get into that. Like, you're a company man. It's supposed to be Rock versus Roman. You stand back. The fans go crazy. Can you say, like, guys, you see what's going on here? Or do you have to lay low and not push yourself in that spot?
Well, not to kick the can down the road, but we filmed a whole behind the scenes. They filmed everything, you know. Rock's team films everything. Our team filmed everything. I think they're finishing it up in terms of they had it ready, and now I think they put some other elements on it just from the fallout of WrestleMania, and that's a good. Hopefully that hits YouTube sooner than later. I'm thinking that's where WWE is going to put it, just because that's a lot of people who had questions about the exacts, how much this and that, the answer. But really, my role in all of this was to stay silent throughout the chaos. And I don't always stay silent. I mean, here we are, we're talking now. I'm very active on social, but sometimes you just have to shut your mouth. And this was a great time when I shut my mouth and all these people came out. And I even thought, I wonder if I can quell the storm. I wonder if I can tell them. I think I did. I sent a post out like, hey, calm down. You know, it took, because I couldn't believe, like, oh man, this, it's flattering, no doubt, but I don't want anyone getting unnecessary hate, anything of that nature in that space. And yeah, I just decided to keep silent. And in the weirdest of ways, having won the Royal Rumble and having been in there last with CM Punk, who had such an opportunity to win the Rumble himself, such an absolute great, I just still thought it'll be fine. Maybe I was in denial, you know, because a lot of people around me were very angry, but I just thought, nope, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. It will work out. We've been just shouting people out here on this conversation, mm-hmm. but DDP, he's so positive, and I'm not a positive person. You know, I feel like I'm in the middle. Okay. He's positive. But he said something to me. He goes, no matter what happens to you, it will be the best thing that ever happened to you. And I wanted to be mad at that answer. Like, what does that even mean? You know? And he told me that, and man, was he right. man, was he right? Because, hey, let's look at a what if. What if we didn't? What if I didn't decide to, you know, say I choose you at that press conference? The what if, I think, would have been probably a great story as well. I mean, wrestling being what it is. But this was the right story for the right time, right moment, right place, right people, all that. Yeah. But yeah.
Well, what I had said, I may have said this to you when I saw you a couple weeks ago, but I wrote this in my column I sent on the podcast. I mean, the reaction they got initially when it was supposed to be Rock versus Roman and you were getting screwed, my term, not Cody's. And this, I say this as a positive. It's going to sound like a negative. I mean, as a positive, it's their fault. They built the story perfectly. Like what you and Roman did for the past year, you know, because people were livid at the end of WrestleMania 39. And when you, and I was livid that night too. And then I look as a wrestling fan, then I look back, that was the right move because look what ended up happening. Like that was the right move, even though people at that time didn't think it. I mean, I even saw today in doing research for the interview, that shot of you at the end of 39 in the ring, I think you're on your knees maybe, and over your shoulder, the camera has the, you know, Roman and Heyman. Like, it was a year of that to get to where we got last week, 2 weeks ago now, Mania. So, again, I mean it as a positive. Like, you guys did such a brilliant job with the story for a year. If 40 didn't end with you finishing the story, you know, they would have burned down Lincoln Field, basically, and the Eagles wouldn't have a stadium to play in anymore.
There's this great scene. You've seen the movie Remember the Titans, right? I feel like everyone remember the Titans.
Yep. Good old Denzel.
Yeah, where he says the assistant coach says to Denzel, or the former head coach, he says, run it up, Herman, leave no doubt. It's a big saying, a big thing between my sister and I, my sister Teal. I looked at the time from WrestleMania 39 to potentially what could happen to WrestleMania 40 as let's leave no doubt. Let's leave absolutely no doubt as to who I am, who I want to be, the future that I see for WWE. And that comes with a lot of, you know, patting on the back here. We're breaking records, breaking records, breaking records. But those stats really help inform where, hey, this is working. We are leaving no doubt. And man, I feel like people give wrestling fans a bad, sometimes they'll say, oh, they can't handle, they're like short term and their attention spans. That's not, I mean, take a look at the feeling at the end of WrestleMania 40. It's just been a long time since wrestling fans had to wait a long time. Yeah. And really, I'm incredibly blessed. So many people reached out, texted me, it was an endless after that match is still happening. And the thing I tell everybody is I'm very lucky. I'm very lucky to be in that mix. I did all this work. Yeah, sure. I work very hard. I like everything you see. None of it's political. I stay after the shows because I like it. Just now I going over to the UK. I have a car that's going to take me from town to town so that I don't have to make the guys on the bus wait because I might be out there all night, you know, it's how I like to be and what I like to do, but I still am very lucky to be in that mix. So many things needed to happen, needed to go right. And very lucky and blessed to be in that mix and to have this here with me today.
Looks good. Looks good. Oh, it was funny. I mean, I had people on Twitter congratulating me after you won because I made such a big stink about Cody has to finish this. And they're like, you love The Rock. You're turning on The Rock. I'm like, this is it. There's no, you know, so it was funny. I had people, it was funny too. Do you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm by any chance?
My mom's a big Curb fan.
She has good taste. Because the finale, the series finale was right up against your match.
Nice.
That was the only negative about the WrestleMania 40 main event. It was at the same exact time. So a lot of us were torn. But I tweeted that day, I am blessed to be able to watch Larry David and Cody Rhodes finish their stories tonight. So it was a perfect night.
Larry David, I'm in great company. Yes, I'm in great
absolutely.
Company. He's basically in the ring with me as a cameo as well.
I'm going to ask you one last WrestleMania really inside baseball question. And I know you're not going to answer this, but I got to go for it.
Yeah.
I feel like me personally, Roman almost, not from you guys, but maybe from the fans, hasn't even gotten the credit he really deserves for WrestleMania and what he's done over the last couple of years. The match is over. You're backstage. Does Cody have a moment, not with Roman, but with Joe? And what is going on in that moment? If you want to, if it's too personal, too private, I understand.
I'll say this. When you do something so special and epic, and I'm specifically talking about his run as champion, not anything I did, nothing, not of my, when you change the landscape of a company, when you help better the locker room situation for the talent surrounding you, when you bring the entire, you know, tied up for one company, which Roman did, and then you're part of something like WrestleMania 40, I believe it was ninth or his 10th main event of a WrestleMania, you're part of that. In the oddest of ways, this might sound odd, we don't need to have a moment. He was nowhere to be found in Gorilla when I got back. And I look forward to when we actually do have that moment and get to see one another. No doubt my entire time in WWE has been like a wartime situation. There's always been somebody. It's always been, you know, some sort of fight and issue. And even with all that said, you're bonded to a degree over the battles that you have. I might be speaking very kindly about him right now, and he might be thinking in his mind that he wants to smash me and murder me when he comes back. And if that's the case, that's okay. I'll be ready for it. But of all the people I did see, the one I didn't, and I think in maybe in his mind, if I could put myself in his shoes, he knew that his run had been generational, that he had changed the industry, which very few people can say they changed the industry. I mean, we're talking you can count 10 people in the last 30 years who changed the business. I think he knew that he could walk out of the ballpark knowing that the ball was still sailing and WWE is going to be just fine, if not even better. And we await the return of Roman Reigns.
So you didn't take it as like a personal snub that he wasn't there. Okay, good.
No, I mean, we just got finished punching and kicking each other, beating each other half to death.
Yeah.
Bleeding, yeah. Belts, chairs. No, I didn't take it personal at all. And I wouldn't take it personal if he hates my guts to this day. I just feel a little differently.
Right. All right, we'll move forward. Actually, one more question. Not about Mania. Give me, outside of WrestleMania 40, take that out of it. From the minute The Rock came back and the storyline started till 2 days before WrestleMania, did you have a favorite moment in the buildup? Whether it was Vegas, whether it was when he made you bleed, was something like, oh my God, this is really cool. Like this is, or was it all just great?
Well, it all happened so quick, you know?
Yeah.
There's never really any downtime in this, because even without the title, even without the championship, I feel like I've been in a position as a champion just without the chip, without the master sword, without the crown, all those things. I feel like there's never enough time to really sit and go, wow, that was fun. That was cool. That was violent. That was, but there was a moment in the ring live and just happening in real time where Seth and I came down through the people to confront the tribal chief, to confront the final boss. And I got a big kick out of seeing them see us. Because I think, well, I've given a lot of respect to The Rock. Certainly will continue to do so. But I think he didn't know really who I was as a player. And I think in that moment he saw, geez, they're all doing the whoa. He's signing autographs on his way down here. It's a different type of individual than perhaps he maybe saw a picture online, a one clip. You know, we base so much stuff off GIFs and social media and all that. I know people don't like how I pronounce GIF, but I've heard that's correct. So
you say it correctly, which irritates me. I go with GIF. I feel like the people who say it correctly like to show off and, you know,
showing off
they're above it all.
But that moment, this is right before I slapped him, and I brought that slap. That moment was, I thought, a nice moment amongst the myself and Seth and our place in all this and our place on Monday Night Raw. I'm really struggling with the idea that I may not be on Monday Night Raw. I may be on Monday Night Raw, but that's just been, that's been our show. And I love it, and it's unique. It's 3 hours. There's challenges presented every week, but that'll be a unique transition if my days on Raw are numbered.
I was going to ask if you're going to be on Raw or SmackDown, but I guess that answers that question because you're not going to tell me right now. That's fine.
So on the fight, I mean, the draft is approaching. The draft,
right.
But then as well, I try to. Sometimes I say things out loud to try to will them into existence. I mean, that's been happening since the original All In.
Right.
And I remember I went on Pat McAfee shows, the golden boy of ESPN, and I said I want to be on Raw and SmackDown. I was saying things on that show to see if I could will, you know, hey, if I put them out there, I can will them into existence. But I also remind everybody, I am not part of the corporate structure, part of the management, the top brass. I'm on the field. They're the coach and they're calling the play. So I kind of await, like everybody else, where I'll land.
All right, we've done a lot on Mania. I'll shift gears. We'll do some other things. This is a little bit about the buildup, but you just mentioned you're not in management, but I'd love to get some insight here from you on this if possible. We saw people were saying Attitude Era. It was not quite the Attitude Era. I mean, let's put it in perspective. The Attitude Era was bonkers on many levels. Yeah. But the Rock was cursing up a storm. I believe you said he had a small penis one night on Monday Night Raw. Are we seeing a little more? It was that strictly for that storyline, or do you think permanently now we'll see a little bit more edge? I know Raw is going to Netflix. I don't know if that's a factor in all this, but you guys are very, very PG. This storyline was not PG. Your thoughts?
I think it's a situation where, like I said earlier, how much respect I have for The Rock. It gets to a point though where you can't have so much respect that you put your hands down.
Right.
And I had been really diplomatic. And diplomatic wasn't so much that it wasn't working with the fans as much as I don't think it was resonating with him. And it just was a moment, specifically the one interview I did, I was wearing a black suit, I remember, and that's where the LDS comment is and all of that going in, called him a carny. I wanted to just speak his language. He came from that era of that cutthroat crash TV. He's been in every era, but I wanted to just speak his language and let him know someone, if not a few people on this current roster, can speak your language if you'd like. I, in a weird way, because it was very, very fans in the arena loved it. There was a huge joy to this interview I did. However, for me, I felt a little guilty because I have a lot of young fans.
Right.
And I would never want them to ask their mom about LDS or this and that. And I remember telling myself, like, hey man, there's like 20,000 YouTube videos of me on BTE cursing and yelling and ridiculous stuff, but just my run with WWE has been really, really for the family audience and really for the little nightmares, these little kiddos. And I just wouldn't want to lead them astray in any way. And hopefully that interview didn't turn them off to me as if I am their guy, as their guy. I really, everyone afterwards was so pumped about it. My wife, she was digging it. And I remember thinking I felt a little guilty.
You didn't look guilty in the time. We watched it. You put emphasis. You went for, when you said it, you went for it.
I mean, when you're talking to somebody of such, you know, power and such aura, I guess is the term, then you have to commit. You have to bring it. Anytime I said something in the build to WrestleMania that I felt I didn't believe, you could tell right away. You could look on my face and know he didn't. And I had to remind myself of these individuals, particularly the bloodline, particularly Mr. Heyman, that they will not accept. If I'm half cocked, that doesn't work. And I was able to get all the way there.
Speaking of Mr. Heyman, at the Hall of Fame, he singled you out, talked about how proud your dad would be, the legendary Dusty Rhodes. And, you know, it's the night before you have your tag match, and then two nights before you're going to face Roman. Were you taken aback when he did that? Because I know the Hall of Fame is different, and it's, you know, you're not maybe sticking to storylines hardcore like you normally would, but, you know, he made it, you know, it was typical Paul Heyman fashion. He turned around to the podium so he could face you and brought up. And there's a great, if people don't know who are listening to this, there's a great story that Heyman tells about helping Dusty out when Dusty was down on his luck. It's in the Heyman documentary on WWE Network. And also, Dusty's the one who let Heyman get into production meetings when he was like, I don't know, 10 years old, crashing the. So obviously there's a very strong and important Dusty Heyman connection. And obviously Dusty was a presence at WrestleMania 40 weekend. There's no doubt about it. Your mom was there. Finish the story. But I was specifically on the Hall of Fame when Paul did that. I'm just wondering what was going through your head.
Well, the Hall of Fame, I think with some wrestlers and some fans, it's the most exciting thing. And since I was introduced to WWE via the Hall of Fame in 2007, I really look forward to the whole, the pomp and circumstance, the whole grandeur of it. Gosh, I loved Bull Nakano's speech. I know she had worked on it for a great time. I loved seeing so many, of those luminary figures get their moment. I do, you know, here I am trying to will something into existence. I do wish we could move it back into the theaters and maybe not after SmackDown. I understand.
Same here. Yeah. It has to switch.
Well, yeah. Listen, I'm not in charge of anything. And anyone who... please don't get mad at me for saying, but I was amped watching everybody, particularly Mr. Heyman. Here's kind of my outlook on it all. I think in another lifetime, I probably would have made the best Paul Heyman guy. I probably could have been his absolute ace. But it just didn't work out that way. It worked out that I was the adversary for his number one guy of all time, and that being Roman Reigns. So there's part of me that looks at that, and even with the questionable decisions that Mr. Heyman makes, part of me looks at that and says that might have been fun. That, you know, that might have been a good car to be in. That might have been a good person to lean over to right before one of the bigger moments of your life and just have something to share. You know, I had that same enjoyment when I had Arn Anderson with me. Just to have someone, he's been here before. You know, there's also a beauty in being there totally by yourself. There's also a specialness to being there totally by yourself. But all that said, I, even with the blood and the violence and how bad things had gotten, I was very understanding that he was going to mention Dusty. And, you know, that was something that I felt like I stood up when Paul walked out, Mr. Heyman walked out. I was there, you know, that all of this was a conscious decision because of what we were celebrating and how he looked and revered my father. If anything, I'm not a Paul Heyman guy. That never happened. But we do share the bond that is Dusty. And he's one of the very few guys that when they talk about Dusty, I don't roll my eyes. I don't bang my head against the table because he did know him. He knows some things about him that I don't even know. And I was glad he was present in Mr. Heyman's speech, wild as a speech.
I was going to say, you felt guilty about LDS. You think he felt guilty when he told people what to do if they thought ECW died in a certain time?
obviously I don't, not agreeing with the way about it, but I will say the spirit of ECW and you could have done ECW nostalgia, fun little ECW moments here and there. But what I got from his speech was it was the spirit of ECW. He's somehow still pushing the envelope. That specific moment was one. He's somehow still challenging people to go ahead, cancel me. I will return. And in a weird way, I don't agree with how he delivered it. The message on being canceled and then rising back up was a really great message that he provided, because today we feel like the world's so small. Everyone sees everything we do. People forget we're human beings. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to be bold, and fortune favors the bold, and nobody more bold than Mr. Heyman. So I didn't mind.
Good.
No, finish.
I had people asking me for a couple of weeks before maybe, like, you know, how do you think it should finish? How do you think it should? I said, I'd love to see Paul Heyman turn on Roman, help Cody win, and they could use the Dusty connection. So many people for a long time thought The Rock was going to turn on Roman because he was not doing the right signal and all this stuff. But I'm glad, it couldn't have worked out better. So that was a stupid idea by me. I want to talk about some light fun stuff, but I got to ask you about the Rolex since we're talking about Dusty. Sure. I saw the clip. I think the WWE posted it earlier this week. I'll say that for when we're taping this, where if you don't mind giving people a little background, if for those who don't know, after your match at WrestleMania 40, where you win the title from Roman, Triple H gives you a box. In the box is a watch. And you gave Rolexes to the guys you were in the main event with, right? The Seth and Roman and The Rock. Now, when you're buying a gift for The Rock, are you thinking like, is it like one of those situations, like what do you get the person who has everything? Like The Rock probably has a Rolex. Is it harder to shop for a Rolex for The Rock?
I can't confirm that I gave the one to Rock or Roman. I think people probably.
Oh, I thought you did. Okay, my bad.
Can't confirm.
Okay.
You might be right. But
okay.
I remember for WrestleMania with Shawn Michaels versus Ric Flair, they had the custom Rolexes for each other. With I think it was 23 was the number. I have a great student from the Nightmare Factory who runs an outstanding jewelry company in Atlanta. He does a lot of NBA, a lot of the rap community. Just wonderful. His name is Diamond Sheik. I gotta probably find out what Diamond Sheik's actual name is, but he was a great student at the Nightmare Factory, remains a good ally to us. But I got it into my mind that I wanted to do something for Seth. We've had such a unique, competitive, challenging relationship, but also we really were going to do this together. And the fact that he was going to be in the main event of WrestleMania, a spot a lot of people thought he should have been in multiple times already, I wanted to have that moment with him. And I like to give gifts. I do not like to receive gifts. I gave every department in WWE, you know, whether it was the makeup team and edible arrangements, whether it was Amazon gift cards for the travel department. I wanted everyone to know we're at the end of our season. I appreciate everything you do. I'm a very needy talent. I'm kind of a mess. And I wanted them to know how much I appreciated them and needed them, and Seth particularly. So I love giving gifts like that. And that was a really great thing to be bonded over. Again, like this documentary, I wanted to capture how many things we're doing here, because who knows if we'll ever be in that place again. That right. Specifically to WrestleMania 40, we will never be in again. And that was the thing. Now the Rolex you're talking about.
Yeah.
It was a week where you came into the WrestleMania week with no Rolexes and you left with two. The Rolex that my dad had growing up, the Jubilee bracelet and the whole deal. I wanted it. Always wanted it, assumed I would get it. I used to go into his room and his jewelry dish, and I'd put it on my wrist, and it was far too big. And when he passed away, I just assumed it was coming to me. Then I thought, oh, you know, that's selfish of me. Maybe it comes to Dustin. You know, Dustin deserves it just as much. And then I found out none of us were getting it. We're going to get pocket knives instead and his cowboy stuff because he had pawned it so that I could go to the Howard Fine Acting Studio in LA. And that was the cash he handed me when I was pulling out of Marietta, Georgia to drive all the way over. Studio City there. So Nick Khan, Triple H, Bruce Pritchard, I want to say Conrad Thompson probably had some involvement in it as well, just because he's kind of like the watch and belt guru, him and Ben. They tracked the watch down. There's this big discussion on, is it the watch? Is it the watch? And the best thing I can tell you is it is, if that makes any,
totally. I get it.
It's the watch. And I was, I don't like giving gifts. That's a moment that the whole world got to see. I don't know how to react when getting a gift other than I wore it last night on Monday Night Raw. It's such a full circle moment, especially to come from a Nick Khan, Bruce, and of course a Triple H. I can only hope that all of this we pay forward, all of this we do incredible record-breaking business as a team together, so that it feels justified that they gave me this extremely expensive and beautiful piece of my history.
Well, records are certainly broken. I mean, Peacock, live show, Raw the next night. It was quite a weekend. We didn't discuss time for this. Can I ask you a couple more? If you got to run, let me know. I don't want to keep you. It's 2:08.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's ask a couple more. Sorry.
Let's do this. Where are you right now? You in a hotel? Looks like you're in a hotel.
A hotel. I will literally leave here to go to the gym after these questions. I will then go immediately to Logan. I'm in Boston. I bus down to Boston to fly to London to then drive to Birmingham, England.
Oh, wow. All right. I appreciate you doing this. You mentioned you're going to bus down. Your bus caught on fire. What was that about?
The air conditioning unit on top of the bus completely exploded. I was in bed. I thought it was a gunshot because all the buses were in the same area. And I thought maybe we were getting robbed. We were at literally in a back alley at Lincoln Financial. We were parked alongside of it. And so the bus, the air conditioning unit blows up. I hear my driver yell, "We got to get off this bus." I'm terrified. I can hear his feet running. And I thought probably wasn't going to be that big of a thing. In my mind, I've got kind of some adrenalitis. It's okay. Grab my stuff. And I open the door. And the only way I can describe it from when I open the bedroom door is, if you've ever been on like the Mummy ride at Universal Studios, there's an effect where they light the ceiling up with fire, where it comes in and it creeps down the ceiling. That's what I was looking at. So now I'm of the thought, oh my God, my life is on this bus. This bus is definitely blowing up. My life is on it. And for whatever reason, A, because I'm a psycho wrestler, and B, because I do this all for my family, I grabbed my boots for night one. So they had Seth and I's logos on them. And I grabbed a picture of the girls. And I ran out in my shorts, no shirt, windy, rainy, freezing, cold there in Philly. And I just saw the fireball on the top of the bus. So then I went and got the fire extinguisher thinking maybe I can help. And one of the other drivers, he rushed me down to the other bus and said, "Just get over here." And I think the scariest part for me, we were watching, Seth and I, the fireball on this bus. I think the scariest part for me was they started backing up the Miz's bus as if, hey, this bus is going to blow up. We've got to get this one out of here. And I thought, oh, how is this happening a few days before WrestleMania? And then the next thing you know, the fire department there in Philly pulled right in, blasted that bus and saved it to, you know, that bus will eventually roll again. But it had a big hole in it. So people who see me getting off that bus at WrestleMania, it was just parked there with a giant hole in the ceiling. But we wanted to make sure our friends at Wheatley Vodka, who had wrapped that bus, and I worked closely with them, we wanted to make sure that it was still seen.
Freaking believable. What time? Like, was this like in the middle of the night?
So it was I was asleep. It was probably 2 a.m. I had to go to the hotel, which I told my wife, I will never step foot in that hotel. I had to bring my bag there all sad. It was really the week before WrestleMania. It was the best thing that could happen in a weird way, because it made it so that, like, hey, whatever happens now,
right, I'm good. Right.
You know what I'm saying? Whatever. Right. If I fall through the Cody Vader on the stage, I'm all right. It's just things happen. That was something that happened. I'm very grateful for the Philadelphia fire department, because the speed and efficiency they put it out was unbelievable.
Yeah. And thank God your wife and daughter weren't there. That, you know.
Oh yeah. They let me have that space during the big, you know, the Summer Slams and the Mania, where you're out in the city for the week, just because my neurosis and obsession with what we do. And I don't think they want to watch Hoosier Dome WrestleMania. I think they'd rather watch Gabby's Playhouse, you know, so they give me a little space.
You said a few minutes ago that you're a needy talent. What makes you a needy talent?
Well, needy may not be the word, but in the last maybe 5 or 10 years, even longer than that, wrestlers have really started to lean into their athletic side, lean into being an athlete. And lean into being an athlete means you have to have your meal prep, which is hard to do when you travel. So you've got to have your meal prep. Your diet has to be dialed in. You have to have trainer, whether that's a Zoom training session, whether that's a written out report, or if that's that you bring your trainer on the road with you. You have to get the sleep. You have to take the supplements that you take. You have to be hydrated. You got to have the amino acids. It's a level of, so I got like three of these. This is a Stormtrooper one. Forgive me. three of these that go with me, because I'm so used to the bus, because I just want to make sure as an athlete, I have all the things. The game is different than when you used to hit the ropes and not actually hit the ropes. The game today is fast. It's very high impact. It's incredibly violent. And if you're not leaning into being an athlete, it's tough to do.
Right.
So that's where I think my need is the most. Yeah.
I got it. Okay. Because I was going to say, you seem like a very easygoing person.
I don't know. Ask John Cohn. I have my moments, but I learned a lot from how rotten of a EVP I was. So there was things I did that were great in that role.
Right.
And then there were things that were just baloney. And people make mistakes. They learn. I learned and grew a lot from that experience.
I saw you the week before Mania at a Make-A-Wish Foundation event. Make-A-Wish does unbelievable things. Yeah. Partnership with the WWE. Everyone knows John Cena's involvement. Cody's involved. And I asked you that day how tired you were. And you said you were pretty exhausted. After Monday Night Raw, the day after WrestleMania, how tired were you?
I mean, physically tired? I needed to sleep.
Both, physically and mentally.
I needed to sleep like Odin, like go into like the deep, deep sleep. But one of the most exciting things for me was Liberty. We had told her she was coming to Philadelphia. We couldn't really get her too excited about Philadelphia. I don't know why. We told her all the people you'll see, and everyone's just like fawning over. It was amazing moments. But we also told her we're going to take her to Disney World if I won. So that was really like weighed on her mind. And the next day was as tired as I could be, was maybe the best day of my life, was the next day, because just to have her, I didn't see her much the week before, and to be with her, to be with Brandy, who I was so, so friggin' proud of in terms of, and so happy she was part of WrestleMania. She's been there every step of the way, sometimes in front of me and leading me on in the best of ways. But that was just the best day ever. So as tired and as exhausted as I was, anyone who, if you could, you could have come up to me and slapped me in the face, and I'd be like, yeah, it's all right. I was just on such a cloud and great spot. And to share that, there's this kind of old outlook on wrestling that you can't do this and have a family. I do this for my family, and that's just how I roll. And that was the best day. So tired, like needing the sleep, sure, but also ready for war all over again.
Can you even walk around Disney? I hope you, do you have like a security? People have to recognize you. I mean, the hair alone is a little bit of a giveaway.
So we've discovered that it's getting to the point where you got to always have the hood and hat on. And we always have a guide. We're, again, incredibly lucky to be able to share this with our daughter. And I don't take any of it for granted, but it has become a little, maybe I sit out on a couple of these, just because I don't want to ever take time away from the girls, and they understand that, you know, to me, no fan is a bad fan. I love all fans. So right. I always stop, but anytime we go, we do have some help to get us through. It doesn't help when you take one of your friends though, who's also a wrestler. Like when I've gone with Matt Cardona in the past and he's essentially in his gear, like tank top, arms oiled, the shades, the Zack Ryder shades on, doing this as he walks by people. That's difficult. Ricky Starks also is not helpful. Brandy with her purple hair when she had it wasn't helpful. And she's always like dialed up.
And you're there with the hat and the hood trying to lay low. Yeah.
I'm just trying to get by, y'all. I'm just trying to get on the ride, you know?
I'm going to ask you one last thing and then I'll let you go. I'm going to end on a really weird one because I've wanted to ask you this like the other two times I've had you on the pod and it never came up or worked out where I could squeeze it in. I figured I got to get it in. I tried to do a lot of research before the interviews, go back, watch old interviews, watch YouTubes. I have to say, I think one of the best things of your career, I don't know if you agree, I hope this, but the vignettes you did is dashing Cody Rhodes.
Oh, yeah.
Is some of the most hysterically funny things I've seen. And I don't remember, at the time, it might have been a little period where I wasn't on top of Monday Night Raw. Because, you know, sometimes you go in and out of it. And I didn't remember it. Those things were hysterical. And I would have, and I was wondering, I'm like, when you did those, were you like laughing off camera? Did you think some of these were, I mean, you talk about trimming your nose hair, trimming your ear hair, grooming your breath, going out on it. It was real. I thought it was hysterically funny. What did you make of those old vignettes?
Well, I was always really tickled that the vote for the most handsome superstar was a real vote. So that, I feel like I let it slide to my head a little bit. But I will say a lot of these things that were news to me, like I was talking about proboscis, I guess that's the nose and trimming the nose hairs, things that were like news to me, I actually learned. Right. There was informational aspect to those grooming tips.
Yes.
So to this day, still used. Now, I'm not shaving my legs with a straight razor, which in one of them, just in the B-roll you see me doing, which is the most terrified I've ever been. And I think I've told some people this, when the first set of them were filmed, the shop we were in, the salon, was open for business. So I was in salon while guys are getting, you know, their nails done and hair and having like cocktails being, they was in the back of the salon as they kept having to say, hey, quiet guys. And I do a take. So when that situation arises, you have to really commit to it. And I feel like, prior to dashing Cody Rhodes, maybe I didn't know all those things. Outside of those vignettes, I still use all that stuff to this day. All of it. Well, skin routine, all that. Yeah. I want to maintain that.
I find it hysterically funny because I've always said to people, I don't know if I've ever said this on Twitter, but I've said this to people. I said, you know, when you go to school, high school, college, they teach you so much stuff you don't ever use. Like, I've never used algebra in my life.
Nope.
I would have liked someone to tell me that when you turn about 35-ish, you're going to have hair growing out of your ears and your nose and your eyebrows are going to become, and you need to take care of this stuff. That is a life lesson I would have liked to have learned in school. So when I saw the vignettes, I said, you know what? This is hitting me right where I could feel it.
Well, I had a great teacher, my sister, Teal. We used to skip school and she would take me to go get like our eyebrows waxed. And this is in high school, you know, and stuff like that, to the point where at that level, we'd go to the tanning bed, we'd get our eyebrows waxed, really vanity based things. So they help a lot with the world of pro wrestling and sports entertainment because you're there for all the world to see and be judged. So yeah, you're right though. More people need that type of class and information. It's better to learn early than learn the hard way.
Oh yeah, you got that right. Well, I can't tell you how much I appreciate this. I wanted you on the pod after finishing the story, and I appreciate you doing it so soon after. And enjoy your run here as the Universal Champion. We'll see you on either Raw or SmackDown or both. We'll see. The draft, there's you're doing the draft the same time as the NFL, so that'll be good. There'll be draft mania going on. And hopefully you get a little rest, but there's no rest for the WWE. Now the next pay-per-view is in France, right, if I'm not mistaken?
Lyon, France for Backlash. Yeah. I'll wrestle LA Knight or AJ Styles. And I really have the thought, like, hey, you know, the classic sleep when we're dead. You know, this is WWE is setting records, breaking records, the consecutive sellouts, and it's for good reason. These stats seem hollow, but if you come into an arena and you feel it, you know exactly what's happening and why wrestling is kind of on the tip of everybody's tongue again. So as the one of the people hopefully leading that into the, you know, into people's living rooms, I'll figure the rest thing out later.
Absolutely. Well, and again, WrestleMania 40, it was perfect though. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Very much. Till the next time.
All right. My many, many thanks to Cody Rhodes. He was tremendous. I don't know how you cannot be a fan of that guy. So good. And it was a great WrestleMania. So my thanks to Cody for giving me his first extensive interview since that night. If you're not a subscriber to SI Media with Jimmy Trina, hit that subscribe button. And if you can, leave a review and rate the podcast on Apple. All right, that wraps it up. We'll see you soon. Stay safe. Take care.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.